Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you for listening this morning. I have a wonderful guest this morning, Caroline Kamya. She's a wonderful filmmaker. Her new film, Imani, has been screening at film festivals across the globe, and it deals with a lot of social, political issues. And she also has some special filmmaking going on with a special camera used for the first time on location in Uganda. So I want to welcome you, Caroline, coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Joy. It's great to be on the show.
Well, I want to start off with first, as I mentioned earlier, you went to school for architecture. So how did you get into filmmaking?
Well, I come from a Ugandan family, and we're very much into academia. And my father's an architect, so he kind of decided what I was going to study. And then after my first year, I realized that I wanted to get into the media desperately. Mm-hmm. And we made a deal in the family that I'd finish my first degree and to become professional, and then I could study filmmaking. So I just had to stick with it.
Oh, I see. So once you started on the filmmaking, did you feel a sense of freedom, a joy? What happened with your
project? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't feel like work to me. I mean, anything to do with filmmaking is a joy. So studying it was like, I can't believe I'm going to school and I'm studying what I love, and homework is watching movies. I mean, it's just a treat if you love it.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just like coming home.
Now, this you had a series called The Africans. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was kind of my first experience making my own project, very independent piece of work, which initially I came up with the concept of looking at different profiles of interesting characters in Uganda. And then it got commissioned by the Community Channel in the UK after they saw the first one. So they're really fun, insightful, character-driven profiles that really show, I'd say, Africans or Ugandans in a different light. And I love to break stereotypes. And really, in Uganda, it's not breaking a stereotype because these are people that we know and love. But outside of Uganda, it's usually a surprise to see, like, for example, one was an 8-year-old ballroom dancer called Kato, who everybody knows in town because he teaches ballroom dance, and he's an amazing guy. And another story was on Elvis by night, dentist by day, a young guy who imitates Elvis Presley, and
that's how
he's a living. And after doing my little piece, he actually got a job as a presenter on local TV and started earning more money in the performance, kind of like me. He didn't want to be a dentist. So it's great to see he's now a fully-fledged performer.
Oh, that is so wonderful. That's hilarious. But one of the wonderful things that you do is with your IVED organization, training young people. Talk about the work you're doing there.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring it up. UAMA is Uganda Arts and Media Academy. It's a not-for-profit organization that I started with a mentor and friend that started BBC London because I did train at the BBC and did some work at the BBC before returning home. And so we set up this charity to train young people in Uganda in film and video, especially kids who have never used a camera before, never had access to kit before, but obviously have the talent and creativity to explore. So we run workshops. We don't have a home for UAMA. That's one of my big wishes.
Mm.
But we run workshops. We just hire a space. Kids come in for 1 week. We have 50% rural, 50% urban kids, and we basically brainstorm ideas and shoot. And by the end, we have a little mini screening of their short films and hand out certificates. And most of the time, these kids end up working in the media after the program, and I'm very proud to kind of increase the amount of kids entering the media in Uganda right now.
Well, I think that's really important because the media has so much power over what people think, do, and say. And that's why I really liked your film when I first discovered you. You're dealing with so many subjects in your film, domestic violence you're talking about. You're talking about the children soldiers. You're talking about general crime just in neighborhoods, which we have all over the globe, crime everywhere.
Yeah.
Sexual exploitation of women by men. Class issues amongst Africans together. Now, and I think for me as an African-American, that scene in particular is so important for people to really understand like you said, breaking the stereotypes or just educating people on what's going on, that what's happening in your neighborhood is also happening across the globe. And even though here in America we think we kind of put race and class together, seeing your film with the scene of Mary, you know, going to work and all that, I think it's a very important scene. Now, one of the things, you had some help, a lot of help making this from someone very close to you, your sister.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. So maybe we could talk to her a little bit about, she was a screenwriter.
Yes. I can put on the phone.
Yeah, we'll put her on the phone. Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Yes, yes. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Dr. Kamya. Should I call you Agnes?
You can call me Agnes, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay. So how was it working with your sister, Caroline, on the movie?
It was really very exciting. I've always talked about working with her over the years, and the opportunity had never come up until I finished my PhD in anthropology and went back to Uganda. And then she said, I want to make my first feature, and she sat me down and said, you're going to write it.
who's older?
Just like that.
Who's older?
She's older by 11 months.
Okay. So she was like, you better listen to me.
Exactly. And it was really a challenge. I think it showed that she had confidence in me. We think a lot alike as people and politically as well. So it was actually quite an easy collaboration. And it's something that, of course, we're going to continue doing now because it worked out so well. It was great for me because it wouldn't have happened if she hadn't initiated it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the important things in her film was dealing with the child soldiers. I mean, according to the UNICEF website, it talks about more than 35,000 Ugandan children were abducted and forced to, you know, kill on behalf of the rebels. And that is one of the three stories that she talks about is the child, and you can see the trauma that he's experienced. Talk to us a little bit about that issue of child soldiers.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, when Carol was thinking about making a feature film about Uganda, she felt very strongly that we have to have a story about northern Uganda. Even though in the south of the country, those of us who live in Kampala and around there have enjoyed peace and, you know, good times for over 25 years, in the north they've had a prolonged conflict that only ended in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, 35,000 children have been affected and were abducted and forced to commit atrocities. So once peace came to the area, the local communities had this problem of how to deal with these children, who were actually their own children. They couldn't criminalize them because they'd been forced to do what they did. They were related to them. So it was a way of kind of humanizing and personalizing the story through this particular family,
mm-hmm.
to put a face to these nameless figures that we have, which is the first time I think it's been done in Uganda. There are many documentaries that have been done by foreigners about groups of children, for example, and they kind of focus on the horrors of the war. I think that's well documented, but in a way it kind of gives you a way of distancing yourself.
It's sensationalizing. I think it's sensationalizing. You know, ooh, look at these people over here fighting amongst themselves. Ooh, isn't this bad?
Precisely.
You know, and but no, okay, so what can we do about it? You know, and so that's
exactly, and the only way for us to relate to those stories is to recognize we are people just like us. And as Africans, it's very rare that we're given the full range of humanity,
mm-hmm.
that perhaps Westerners give to themselves. And so by writing this story about Oweni and his mother and father and how they've dealt with this tragedy within this particular family, it was a way of getting away from all the hoo-ha, the sensational and kind of barbaric typecasting, and looking at the human face of conflict.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, Carol did very well, the way that she shot the cleansing ceremony when he's reunited with his mother. I think there's no way anybody in the world would not simply see a mother and her son returning, you know.
Yeah, that was a very difficult scene. You could tell that was... it was a beautiful scene because I'm a mother, so I can imagine my child. I can't imagine 100%, but I can be sympathetic to just not having my child around and having them taken away, not knowing if they're alive or dead or what's going on with them. And then they return and trying to reintegrate them into the family. I think that is a very powerful scene. Well, let me talk to Caroline again. Thank you so much for your input.
You're welcome. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Caroline. It's Joy again. So one of the crazy characters in your film, the criminal guy, he was hilarious. How did you find him? Because, you know, a criminal is a criminal is a criminal. And he just had it down to a science. His little mannerisms, you know, his curled lip. You know, let's drink some wine for the he has a scene where this criminal just thinks he's like all that and then some with the wine and the music and the artwork. Crazy.
I'm so glad you mentioned him, and I will give him a report when I get back to you guys. Because Vincent works at a bank. He writes plays. He's very interested in the arts, and you know he came to the open call because all the actors have never acted before in films. Mm-hmm. And he was one guy nobody expected to get a part. There was a big guy who plays the boyfriend of the woman of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody thought he would be the gangster. And it was just such an easy kind of, okay, he's big and he's very dark. And, you know, that's how it's perceived in Uganda. Like, he would be the baddie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, no. This guy is tiny, he's thin,
yes.
He's got this attitude about him, and I love casting against type. Okay, I haven't made many movies, this is my first feature, but I love to cast against type. So as soon as he did the audition, his audition made me cry.
Oh, really? You know, what did he do?
I gave him a monologue, and he just, like, looked into the lens of the camera, just had a little video camera I was using to record my casting sessions when I decided I kind of knew who I wanted. And he delivered it, and I was like, oh, my God, I was in tears. I said, this guy's so magic. So he was really surprised when I told him. And next thing, he got the role. And he's, of course, his idols are De Niro, Pacino.
Yes,
so
I think Scarface.
Yeah, exactly. So I think somebody at one festival said, oh my God, he reminds me of Al Pacino. So when I got back to Ghana, I told him, he was so happy.
Oh my
God.
He
was so happy.
That is
so cool. I'm really glad. You just made me shiver just thinking how happy he'll be when I tell him.
Well, you had a lot of wonderful characters, and one of the main characters, Mary, that was a really intense character. And one of the things you just said is that, and another reason, again, I was interested is the way you cast your film. These people had never acted before, may have been interested or may not, or just stumbled onto the auditions. And that was the case with the main character, Mary. She wasn't planning on coming to the audition basically website, but she stumbled in. She was a natural. The camp loved her. Oh my God! I was just aching for her, and her storyline, the domestic violence and her sister, the class issues between her and the madam of the house, the sexual exploitation stuff with the security guard gardener of the property. You know, I thought he was going to help her. You sucked me in, Caroline. I was like, oh, he got more money for the necklace. Wonderful. Okay. And then he comes back and you just drop
me.
You dropped me, Caroline. I was so, like, I'm forsaken.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's brilliant.
She was chosen as Best Actress in a Feature-Length Film, your film, and the Tarifa African Film Festival, Most Promising Actress in the African Movie Academy Awards. So she is definitely going to – I see big things for her coming.
Yes.
But one of the unique things you did was you had an actor training. You had a coach. Talk about that a little bit. You had a coach.
Yes. Basically, I did ask around the people I knew in Kampala. I said, look, I'm going to make my movie and I'm going to use non-actors. I really need to work with somebody who has done this before. Because I know the secret to success is working with a good team, you know. So basically a friend said, oh, I know somebody in Kenya. He's worked on The Constant Gardener. He's a great guy. He's worked in theater. Give him a shout, call him up or send him an email. So
right.
I did contact him and I said, look, I haven't got much money. I can pay for your flight. And he told me his rate and I went, oh my God, this is going to cost me a fortune.
Oh.
But okay, I've just got to do this thing. So I said, okay, I'll pay for everything. Just come, you stay at my sister's place. And he's like, cool, because I said, I can't afford a hotel. And next thing, he was in the country, and him and me were like peas in a pod. We think we'd be the same. You know, he'd be off in one corner with my sister. I'd be with the other characters in another corner. And then when we sat down at lunch to say which characters we think, which cast would work for each character, we were both on the same page.
Mm.
So for me, it was great to know that he's had maybe 20 years experience in the industry. So for me, it reinforced my feeling that I'm in the right job. I know what I'm doing here because I've selected people who make sense for the part. So that's really, it was a collaborative effort between him and myself to get the right cast.
Well, your film is beautiful. Let's also mention the cinematography aspects, the scenery, the country. You made the country look so beautiful, so lush. You used the special.
So beautiful anyway.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful anyway.
But, you know, romantic feel to it, even so, like, particularly with the scene with, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Olweni.
And
when he was back home and in the grass just walking and meditating. Talk to us a little bit about the special camera and how you're one of the first to use it in Uganda.
Yeah, I mean, I always like doing new stuff. I mean, I like challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing things that haven't been done before. I really am not afraid. So the fact that I was going to make my movie and I knew I didn't have enough money to shoot on film, I said, okay, what's the next best thing? And I was in Vancouver, and I was chatting to people in the industry and learning more, and one of the guys who's working on a show, as I think he was working as a camera assistant, second camera assistant, was like, oh, Carol, you know, have you heard about the Red camera? Tell me more, because I love, I'm a tech freak, I'm a geek.
Okay.
So I was like, tell me, what about the Red? Like, it's like this, da, 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 da. I said, okay, look, if you know so much about this camera, Andrew, why don't you come and shoot my movie? And he was waiting for me to ask him.
Ah!
It was like brilliant. Because he wanted to make his feature, because he wanted to jump up from camera assistant to DOP, and I needed a DOP.
There you go.
And he was going to work for free. And so he came to Uganda with the Red at a very, about 30% the cost, and a camera assistant and a focus puller. And that was my team, my hardcore team for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that really, really made it such a huge difference to the project.
Well, you've won a lot of awards already just for the film, for different in Poland, in Berlin, in Spain, in Africa. So how does this make you feel? This is your first one, and you just bust out the gate just like with so much notoriety. Like, how does this make you feel? How do you feel your life has changed?
Well, it hasn't changed that much. I mean, I'm traveling a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I've done, I think, six countries in about 5 weeks. So I'm definitely traveling a lot more, and I love traveling. I love meeting people in the industry, meet people. I love talking about film. I could talk for hours. In that sense, it's been very, very exciting. But in other respects, I'm just looking for the next challenge. I'm just thinking about the next movie.
Mm.
So in a way, I'm not really appreciating this moment because I'm like, okay, I could do better. I'm always thinking I could do better. And so I keep thinking it's not really enough.
Like,
I should be doing better than this. And, you know, I constantly challenge myself.
Well, I want to tell you, as I mentioned earlier, you're doing very well already because people in Uganda are supporting you. As I mentioned on Facebook on the event page, they say they love you, they support you as a Ugandan and a filmmaker. One of the things they asked a guy, Jeffrey, he wanted to know, why is the film industry so bad off in Uganda? And I guess from my perspective, what can we do to fix that?
You know, it's really about connections. I think for any industry, you know, and filmmaking is a business, and you just need to make the right connections. For example, in order to finish my movie, I happened across a Swedish producer who liked what he saw and gave me the connection to get my film finished. You know, so it's really about opening up the industry, making people aware of the talent, the resources, the materials, and the training in order for people to start making films.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always strongly believed in Uganda, and that's one of the reasons why I went home. I believe the talent is there. It's just about connections and resources and training. So, you know, I'm more optimistic than him. And I want him to be more optimistic and just think, okay, we may not have it all together now, but even with a friend's camera, or if I can go to a studio and ask to borrow a camera on downtime, I can make a short one-minute film. Then I can make a five-minute film, you know, and build it up from there. We can't always just wait. We just have to take action.
Yes, definitely. I think that's so important, is taking action and doing what you can when you can. We, like you said, you feel like maybe your life hasn't changed that much, you're traveling more, but you're still enlightening people with your film about what's going on, breaking stereotypes.
Yeah.
Another wonderful thing in your film is the dancing. The character who's a dancer, and that's actually a real program that he has going on. in Uganda.
That's right. He's a member of the group.
Yes.
Breakdance Project Uganda is a very, very good project. It teaches young people breakdance, and basically they have free training during the week at a club in Kampala.
Mm-hmm.
And those who become good then get used for performances. They get paid. Commercials use them sometimes locally. They travel abroad teaching breakdance and performing. I mean, lives have been transformed. Philip himself is part of the group. He started off basically next to nothing,
mm-hmm.
joined the group, and now he's a choreographer. I mean, he's an actor and choreographer. I think the last time I saw him, he was headed off to a European country to do some performance. So it's a really, really important project that people need to support globally, because it is making a dramatic change in Uganda for kids.
Well, let's mention your website for people who are interested in checking more, imanimovie.com, I-M-A-N-I, movie.com. You can go there and learn more about, see the trailer for the movie, which I have on my website here at Blog Talk Radio. I have the trailer. You can see when the screenings, check out her awards, what the press is saying. You can contact her if you're trying to get the film to your festival in your area. So please check out imanimovie.com. Also, we want to check out her company, ivadproductions.com. It's ivadproductions.com to learn more about the work that she's doing there. So now, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, since I have some ears, hopefully, is that I'm very keen to have people come down and do training in Uganda. It's part of my charity, Uganda Arts and Media Academy. I'm also looking for distribution for Imani in the States. So if anybody is doing that in the States, it's very important. Educational distribution as well is really important. And I want to get on Oprah. I want her to see that. I'm just going to get it out there.
Hey, put it out there. You never know. Just like you never
exactly.
know. I mean, seriously,
exactly.
That is so important. Walk down the path and the universe just opens up and supports you. And I think especially with your film, you can see the accolades that you've been receiving. So now, what's your next move? Or what would your next film be about? Do you know that already?
Okay.
Or?
Definitely. I mean, the ideas are there. Since Imani, I've made two other films. I've made one with the Danish Film Institute, which we shot in Uganda, called Chips and Liver Girls, and it's about young women and sexuality in Uganda. It's really about young women and how they navigate relationships, mm-hmm. and it's a blend of documentary and fiction film. And then I shot another short film in China in August, which is commissioned by the Rotterdam International Film Festival. It's part of a project called Raiding Africa, and seven filmmakers from the continent were sent over to China to make a film that they wanted to make. So that's a little kid movie that I made with two kids that I found in a market, in a fresh fruit market. So that I'm in the process of cutting. But my sister is writing the next features. We have a thriller idea, and we have a period drama set in Uganda, and we have a documentary drama set in Spain, which we're currently in Spain at attending a festival right now. So there's a lot, you know.
Yeah, you're very busy, very busy. You guys are, you know, the brothers that made The Matrix, so you guys are going to be the sister powerhouse, hopefully, in Hollywood, making...
Yeah, you got it.
We
got the Williams sisters, right? We got the Cammy sisters in the movie.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's just talk real quick. We have about 6 minutes left, but let's talk a little bit about politics in Uganda. Just last year, the anti-homosexuality bill was proposed. How do you see the media helping with that issue, or can the media help with this issue?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm not an expert when it comes to that. I think it's really important that the media doesn't blow things out of proportion. But, you know, the media likes a good story, so it's really difficult to fight some of the stories that come out in any country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really about selling newspapers. So if people buy newspapers based on a headline, they will continue selling that headline.
Yes.
So it's really down to people.
Well, one of the things that disturbs me about it was about targeting people who are HIV positive and things. I mean, someone who's HIV positive needs all the help they can get. They don't need to be ostracized or put on the sidelines. And people around them who may not be positive need to be educated. That's whether they're in America or Africa or Asia or you know, Latin America. It doesn't matter. To help stop the spread of HIV. So that is disturbing to me. And one of the other things they talked about that was several further back was the lifting of the presidential term limits. What are your feelings about that? Do you think that's a good thing, a bad thing?
Wow. I mean, when it comes to politics, I really try and
stay out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
You know? Because, I mean, even you'll see in terms of, like, the movies that I make, politics are back for a lot of stuff that happens in the foreground. So, you know, I'll keep mum when it comes to that.
I completely understand. I understand. Well, I just want to wish you and your sister much success. I see a bright future. If I see Oprah, I will definitely mention your film and your sister. Or if I see Spike Lee, you know.
Yeah.
Mention it. I will tell you, I'm friends with Tanya Lee, his wife, on Facebook, so I have posted about your movie, and maybe it'll get to him
nice.
That way.
Nice. Yes, I'm reading his book, and it's inspiring me.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I wish you much luck, and also, you were just recently, I want to mention again that you were at the 54th BFI London Film Festival. Your film was featured there. You're in Spain now, you said, and your film was featured there. Are you there for a screening or for some other film?
Screening at Imani at a festival here. And then I'm back in London with my sister tomorrow for the last screening at the BFI Film Festival.
Okay, well, wonderful. And if you're listening out there, please check out her website, imanimovie.com, and support her. Write a letter to Oprah for her or to Spike Lee to support her. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being on the
Thank
show.
You, Joy. It's been such a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this, and I wish you all the best.
Okay, you have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. This was the first half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'll be doing another show in a couple minutes with author Khalil Gibran Muhammad, The Condemnation of Blackness, talking about race, crime, and urban America. Really touchy, kind of icky feeling subject that people don't want to talk about, but we need to talk about here in America, but also how it affects globally the issue of race. I mean, we just talked about that with Caroline Kamya and her casting of different characters, and she cast against type, whereas people normally want to cast a black, tall, big, dark guy as the criminal. She cast a small, petite guy. So race and ethnicity and crime are intertwined all across the globe. So please stay tuned for in a couple minutes. I'll be speaking with author Khalil Gibran Muhammad. Also next week, I'll be speaking with Latin singer Luisa Mehta and dancer choreographer Sean Lemire Williams. So that's next Saturday. The 30th, between 11 and 12 here on Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. You can also follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys. You can become a fan of the show. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. You have a wonderful Saturday, and hopefully I'll see you in a couple minutes on the second half of the show.